Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Well, the whole thing is that he keeps telling me, it's like, the basement's going to flood, the basement. I'm like, the basement's not going to flood, dude. It's like, unless you have cracks in the basement, it's not going to flood. Like, and even if it does, you should just get a little bit of seepage. You're not going to get, like, major sewage or seepage. Or seepage. Your mic's not. There you go.
Seepage.
Yeah. And so he's like, then he puts up that picture. He's like, oh, I knew the basement was going to flood and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, your wife accidentally moved the fridge, which cut the water line for the fridge, which caused it to spill into the basement. It absolutely, it was a freak accident. No matter, like, it doesn't matter, like, whatever happened. That was, like, an immense freak accident that would never happen in normal life. I go, you know, it's like, he's like, no, like, no matter where you put your video games, like, crap's going to happen. Like, you could put it on the top floor of your house and a tornado could come and knock it away. It's like that's as freak of an accident as the waterline accidentally getting cut by your wife who didn't know what she was doing at the time. I was like, get over it. Come on. Well, I mean, that man is so...
It didn't appear that anything was damaged, though.
Well, no, exactly. And it's like I keep all my minis and crap in a crawl space, and I'm like, which floods regularly, but I was just like, yeah, whatever, if it gets destroyed, I have too much of it anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, it has to be pretty like, the only thing that's really gonna get destroyed is books, really.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
minis, like, you can't really,
yeah, I mean, well, no, they wouldn't get destroyed, but I mean, sometimes you can get that nasty, like, that mini rot, that lead
minis,
rot.
You can,
yeah,
you can clean it.
Yeah,
like, you can wash it.
Yeah,
you know, that's a, I guess if they were fully painted, like, in cases, yeah, like, you could have your armies ruined.
No, mine, you have to rework. You know, mine, but, are all in cases.
Right. Well, I mean, like, no, I mean, like, figure cases.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mine are all in display,
like,
cases.
Like, in figure,
yeah,
cases, like, in a crawl space, like, and that floods, like, you could have your figure cases ruined and your figures, your army could be ruined. Like,
yeah,
the paint could be messed up or whatever.
Oh, no! My shitty army got
this army that I had in a fucking crawl space for six years.
That I might one day play with again, because, mm-hmm, someone might accidentally one day say, hey, we should play some Secrets of the Third Reich.
And I'd be like, finally, my 6,000 strong model count zombie army ready to go.
All right, everyone, welcome to Dead Game Classy, apparently.
I'm reenacting the Battle of the Bulge by myself.
With my bulge. Whoa. Today is going to be a Age of Sigmar podcast. We're gonna talk a little bit about it. You know, we shit on it a lot, but I know
it's time for the shit to be retracted inside the anus.
I'm
carried in the body.
I'm going to say it's time for the anus to cut off the flow of shit. You're going to pinch it off right now. And it's not completely, because I do have some issues with it. I've got my first, like, real game of Age of Sigmar in. Not like, you know, some guy in the store showing me how to play it. Like, I actually sat down with some people, some guys I game with on regularly, and played it. And so I wanted to tell my views on it. I've had a whole week to stew on this. I've refrained from texting Steve about this. Because the thing is Steve and I will text each other on occasion and be like, this game is shit. Most of the, like, time, it's just to make fun of people.
Usually. It's like, hey, do you know this guy?
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know that guy. And he's like, yeah, guy's a dick. I'm like, he's totally a dick.
Oh. Most of the time, it's about the same guy who's a dick.
Yeah, usually.
So, you know,
we're talking about you.
Pat.
It's not Pat.
Pat's not a dick.
Pat's, like, uncomfortably nice.
Yeah. to the point where it almost negates Steve's dickishness.
It's like he's up to something. I suspect he's up to something.
So, yeah. Okay. So, to give a little background on it, I have two friends who are managers of Games Workshop stores in the local area. And they had a little game night at a guy's house. And we were like, okay, let's... And they're like, we're playing Age of Sigmar if you want to come. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, I'll give it a whirl. I was like, I'll give it a whirl. I'm not going to use any of my GW stuff. I'm going to use confrontation stuff because I have it. And I'm just going to... You know, all my GW stuff's based on square bases. I'm going to base these on the round bases. I'm going to do this correctly. And I'm going to try and do this the best that I can. So I ended up picking up some of my confrontation orcs, and I put together an Iron Jaws list, as I was told by the by one of the managers. He was like, play the Iron Jaws. They're the best. Okay. So we sat down and we played. Now, a couple caveats on this. Number one, we did not play with any of the special terrain rules. None of that, like, this is the ghost tower of Skaputnik, and it gives you this, this, and this.
I
was like,
but I wanted to see the ghost tower of Skaputnik.
It's, oh, God. And thank God, because when I actually went through the rules later, fuck those terrain rules.
So those are the 8th edition terrain rules, pretty much.
Those are awful. Yeah. Those are terrible.
It's like random shit.
We also didn't play model to model, like edge of model.
We did base to base.
We did base to base, just because it kind of made it easier for us to play. I think that the model-to-model rules are awful. The only reason to really use model-to-model rules is if you're, like, you have a giganto base.
I think also it's if you're it's for non, if you're both standardized under the circle bases,
yeah,
you can just use bases. But if one of you is using old square bases and you're not standardized, you should use model-to-model.
I guess. I mean, square to round doesn't really bother me as much. I think the bigger problem is like what you were saying with the Smaug model, like because it's so big and it has such a huge display base on it, it'd be really hard to use. I couldn't really see an example of like really egregious use of like a square of like a display base that would like ruin the game.
Oh, it can't, because it's model to model, so it works both ways. So like if you try and like model for advantage, like, and put your spearman really far out,
yeah,
yes, your spearman has more range because you have him leaning off the base and like his spear is much closer to the other guy. However, it works both ways, so your model is also close, like my models are closer to yours, your model's also closer to mine.
Yeah, I mean,
so like you can get charged just as easily as you can charge, so it's kind of like okay, you're like, you have an advantage, quote unquote, but it's not really.
Yeah, I that's what I'm saying. It's like I really don't see a big issue with the basing schema, so to speak. But yeah, we didn't play that one. We didn't play with the stupid terrain rules. We just played kind of straight out. We did a 2-on-2 game.
I actually don't. The terrain rules, I think, are really bad if you do them for every piece. Like, if you do them as written, I think it's bad. But I think having one piece of terrain that's, like, weird, I think that's cool.
Yes, I could say that. But, I mean, I think the terrain rules are garbage. I really do. So, we played, and it was fine. It was fun. There was a shit ton of dice. Like, I think at one time, one of my units was rolling 27 dice at a time, and I was just like, Jesus, this is kind of this is obnoxious even by like most minigame standards. It was
clearly not played 40K.
Yeah, well, that's true too. It was like a 5-man unit, and they were rolling close to 30 dice. I was like, Jesus,
that's a lot of attacks.
Christ.
Were those like the mega knobs or whatever?
Yeah, they were. I kept calling them biggins, but they were like, no, they're called this, and I'm like, no, they're biggins.
They're biggins.
Yeah, I picked up the two rule books. I picked up the Iron Jaws Battle Tome and the Forces of Destruction army book.
The War Scrolls books.
Yeah, the War Scrolls. The Brute Fists is what they're called.
Yeah, the Biggins.
The Biggins, yeah.
The Biggins.
Well, this is, okay, so, I liked the game. It was fine in terms of its combat. I think it worked. I think how most games will end up being played. Like, we played this one scenario, it was fine. It was like you have to capture your dead general. Mm-hmm. So it was basically find three tokens, place three tokens on the battlefield. They have to discover, they have to get near one of them, within 3 inches of one, then they roll a dice. If it's a 5 or 6, they win the game. If it's not a 5 or 6, you go on to the next one. So on, and if it's not that one, it's the third one. So they captured the first one pretty quickly, did not end up being the thing. Second one, they got close, did not end up being it. So it was the third one. I was able to stall for the 6 turns of the game, and we ended up winning. So that was pretty cool. Yeah. Beginner's luck, yay! And it was... Okay, so the things I liked. I liked the combat system. The combat system was super easy. Way more than like the whole stupid chart system in the past.
Yeah.
I like the chart system. I think it's fine. I did like the flat... Roll 3 to hit, roll 3 to wound, that sort of thing with a rend on it.
The chart works the less dice you use. I think that I railed on it last cast, and like the 6th edition was perfect for the chart because you're rolling like the height, like an absurd amount of attacks is like 12. And
yeah.
That's like insane. Like, whoa.
Whoa.
That's fucking insane.
Like with spearmen.
That's like Khorne warriors with additional hand weapons. Yeah. Like that's who rolls that kind of numbers of attacks.
Or spearmen. Elf spearmen would get, like, if you got a... You know, 10-man front, 8 or 5-man frontage, you get 10 attacks plus a champion.
If
11.
If it wasn't the turn they were charging, because you only got to use the additional rows in subsequent rounds of combat.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Like, additional hand weapons, BS crap.
There's some ways to get some extra dice, but, like, you're still, like, capping out at, like, 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the max you would have is if you have all six Chaos Warriors with additional hand weapons, you'd have 18. And that's the highest.
And what I think was great was the only modification was on the save, because most weapons have, like, well,
rend.
Yeah, they'll have
your
rend.
Your guy just says if it messes with their other save, which is awesome because it's in their stat line rather than like a sub rule like underneath.
BS thing on there. Sometimes they are in the sub rules, which I'll get into a little bit. It's not terrible. And then the rend was okay. That was fine. One of my bigger issues was with the, well, I'll say my issues for a second. So things I loved. I love the combat system. I think that worked great. Movement worked great. And also I think the best part about it was you get to use your old GW medals. It feels like an old GW game. And it doesn't feel too skirmishy. It feels you still get the feel of like units moving, which is, I think, cool. That's one thing I was kind of wary on. Things I didn't like. There's a couple. I didn't like that all of the different fucking weapon stats. That drove me absolutely up the wall in the game, because it was like, well, this guy's armed with this, and this guy's armed with this, and it's like, they all have stupid names that sound exactly the same. Well, I mean, like, okay, so let me just, I'll pull this up real quick. So, the Orc Ardboys, the Brutes, you could have two Brute Choppas, a Jagged Orc a Jagged Gore Hacka, a Gore Choppa, a Boss Choppa, a Boss Claw, or a Brute Smasher. What the fuck does that all mean? I get it, but it's like, this is just annoying.
And there's the Brutes.
Yeah. And there was like, there's no real way of like assigning it to, like, you could just say,
oh, it's because this is a five-man block. That's because these are Terminators, basically. Yeah, that's why they have that. That's why they have the shit. And you would have to just, it's because it's WYSIWYG.
Yeah, it's what you see is what you get. So it's kind of annoying that way.
I think you just want to do two Brute Choppas, because that's four attacks each.
You only get, I think, one in a unit. It says specifically in there. It even says on the box, because I was looking at the box.
One in every five gets a Gore Choppa.
Okay, so it's the Gore Choppa. And I think the Brute Choppa can only go to the boss, maybe.
Some units are armed with two Brute Choppas, while others prefer double-handed Jagged Gore Hackas. Okay, so it's two. They get two additional hand weapon. They get additional hand weapon, or they get great weapons. And then one in every five can have the Gore Choppa. And then the leader has a Boss Choppa or a Boss Claw and a Brute Smasher. So it seems like a lot, but it shouldn't be when you like have it modeled out, because it's either like it's the dude, because that's three weapon entries for just the boss, and no, only the boss can have it.
Well, and I get that, but the problem is like, even when you're looking at the model who has the stuff on it, and you say like, oh, this guy has this, you're like, wait, what the fuck does he have? What is this thing? Like, you don't know what it is.
That'll fix itself over time.
Like, if it said he has an axe and a sword, or a sword, I'd be like, oh, okay, I know the difference between an axe and a sword. This makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Instead of your made up crap.
It should just say Power Claw.
Yeah,
it should just say Power Claw.
I hate those models for the Iron Jaws.
Really?
I hate them. Yeah.
I still stand by the fact that Wyvern is, like, inexplicably wide.
It is. It's actually kind of a cool looking model when you see it.
I haven't seen it in person.
Yeah. Hate the rider, love the Wyvern.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in person, but he's like chunky. And someone made a joke last time. It was a Cad puts on like 15 pounds.
Yeah.
And I agree with that. Like, a lot of the Cad models, you can tell the big Cad models, they're like wider.
Yeah. I mean, I would get one just to proxy a different rider on it. I hate that Orc weird knob guy.
Really?
I think he looks terrible.
He looks like he's having an aneurysm, which makes sense.
Tim Lyson said he's got those stupid French toes, where they're like the pigeon toes.
Oh, where they're bad.
Yeah, all the French.
All the confrontation orcs have that.
No, not the confrontation orcs. A lot of the Celt models all have that. Mm. The orcs do not. But it made me laugh because I was like Tim hates the French because they beat him at a painting competition.
Yeah, they did.
And an actual grand tournament, didn't they?
I believe so. I believe the French soundly defeated him in all aspects of the hobby.
Yes. Because when he came back, you played the Marseillaise.
I did. it was awesome.
Yes.
I just blasted it. Yeah. I got everyone in the bunker to like be quiet as soon as he walked into the door.
And then you made us all stand up and do a French salute.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
And not a French salute as in the middle finger standing up, but
that was a glorious, glorious day.
Yeah, and so I had a problem with the weaponry.
I like the Gore Gruntas.
Yeah, I'm using something different for those.
Big ass pigmen. I mean, the issue with these brutes and like the dudes, if you were to take it like personally, like for me, is that they're 40K models.
Yeah, that's the thing. Is
like they're definitely for like the Ard
40K
boys,
guys without guns.
It's like the Ard boys are clearly black. You know, they're black orcs.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if because I haven't seen the models in person, so I don't know if it's just the paint job. Because I've been discovering a lot. Like you remember we talked about it before. Where like the Studio Workshop paint jobs like make the models look worse.
Yeah.
Like,
hands down,
frequently.
Yeah.
So I want to see them in person before
without
I, like,
the stupid yellow paint job
right,
on them.
I think the yellow is like what is doing it, because I think if you just put them in, you know, beat up like bolt gun armor, like really dark, like nasty looking, they'll just look like black orcs. Those just bigger black orcs.
Yeah.
And that's because that's what I didn't we know when and I've seen the black orc models are old as shit. And like they look good. Obviously.
No, they're not actually that old because they're the plastic black orcs. They were only released a couple years ago.
I mean, that was like 7th edition. That's years and years now.
Is it 7th? I thought it was early 8th.
No, they were 7th. They were 7th ed kit. And like, but like they look bad in yellow.
Oh,
like,
they look terrible. Well, I mean, it's
and
just
these
like,
are not and these are not terrible looking models.
No, and the thing is on that picture they put like 20 of them on the page, and they're all in that yellow, so it all blends together. It looks awful.
Yeah, it looks a mess.
Yeah. What some of the other stuff I didn't like? I didn't like.
I like the War Chanter. He's got those sticks.
I hate those models. I hate almost all of those models. The boar guy, the guys on the boars are okay.
I like those guys a lot.
But yeah, the
Wyvern.
Another issue I had was that I was playing with the Iron Jaws list, which is a standard book list. Like it's a new list.
Yes.
It's
a subcategory of orcs.
One of the players was playing with, or the other players that we were playing against were playing with the two, where they were playing with chaos, with the new chaos stuff. So the new chaos, whatever their thing is called, their army book is called. I don't know.
Well, there's just there's the chaos one, and then there's the Khorne one.
Okay.
The only like sub book that chaos has that isn't Skaven is the Khorne one.
Yeah. Well, they were playing with that pestilence one. So they had the
Skaven book because no, Skaven is chaos now.
It's hard to say, but it's the one with the actual Nurgle guys in it. The new Nurgle guys that they released.
Okay, the Rotbringers?
Yeah.
So they're playing the Rotbringers list.
Yeah, the
okay,
Rotbringers.
Cool.
And so, I mean, it was like a little... I felt... And then the player who was playing with me was playing with just ogres, with an ogre list. So I felt like all the stuff that had the new like battle tomes did infinitely better than the stuff from the old editions. So I kind of felt that was a little unbalanced.
Most of the stuff, from what I understand, is like it's a lot of stuff's about combos.
Yeah.
So like the newer Nurgle stuff, because it triggers off of the Nurgle keyword, you can grab pestilens like Plague Monks, who by themselves in the Roar Scroll, I guess, aren't super good. But if you have the one guy who's like buffing all Nurgle troops, he suddenly makes them really good.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing, was one of the guys brought that guy, and it was, or not, maybe not that guy in particular, but one of the Nurgle characters, and was just like, ba-doo, ba-doo, ba-doo,
making Nurgle units
just
better.
Just destroying the ogres. I played against just a guy who was playing some standard chaos-y stuff. Guy in a manticore, that sort of thing, but my boys were rocking them. Granted, I was rolling really hot, but I always chalk that up to the fact that I was playing this game new for the first time.
Well, from what I hear, the orcs are really good.
Yeah, they're surprisingly good.
Yeah, they're if you have a Warhammer orc army that's been collecting dust because you're like, orcs suck in Warhammer, they no longer suck in Age of Sigmar.
Well, hold on. The Iron Jaws do not suck.
Well, yeah, but you'll have
the
that army.
The standard orcs kind of suck.
The Savage Orcs are still good.
Yeah, well, it's Savage Orcs.
Yeah.
You got to be that guy.
Yeah, well, I think the points are going to make that. That's the thing. The points are going to make that distinction. Because, like, yes, right now, like, With no points, there is no reason to ever field an orc. Period.
Yeah.
You should never put them on the table. You should always have iron jaws.
Yeah.
But with the points, you're going to have the orcs, which are going to be half the fucking price. Because the iron jaws that
well,
that
we'll get into the points in a little bit. in a little bit. I mean, I want to go over that. And the other thing that I kind of liked about this game was, so I went to the store and bought these two books, and it's like the Iron Jaws Battle Tome, I think, was $30, and the destruction, the Grand Alliance Destruction book only cost like $15.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, all these rules are available for free online or on the app.
I like having the book.
Yeah. I mean, it was not terrible, especially $30 for a hardcover.
For a workshop book?
Yeah.
It's a great price.
However, some of these were really expensive, but they're much bigger.
Yeah. The bigger, the real thick, big ones are really expensive.
Yeah,
they're like,
they are.
Well, you know, you gotta pay extra for the thick, big ones. I would say their smaller hardcovers and softcovers are adequately priced with contemporary gaming.
Yes.
Like they're not like if there was a D&D book, maybe it'd be $5 less. Maybe.
Yeah.
So like this $30 book would probably maybe be $25. But the big books, like the Quest for Galamaraz and stuff, that's like $75. Like that's like I was like, Jesus. But it all comes back from that one lady who was running workshop at the time who made the insane prices, because those books and the Fire Slayer, because the Fire Slayers are crazy expensive. Have you seen their price points?
Mm-hmm.
They're fucking nuts. And like the orcs are newer than the Fire Slayers, and they're at a more stable level of workshop pricing.
Yeah, I mean, I think like the stable is still in quotes, but like the box of the
it
Gore
is,
Grunters,
of course in quotes. That's what I said, or workshop
the,
pricing.
the crazy boar riders, the Iron Jaws boar riders, you get three in a box, and I think I looked, it was like $75, which I was like, well, that's not crazy in comparison to the Chaos Knights, which were 100 bones
right.
for
those
the
are,
box.
Those are three monstrous calves.
Yeah.
Like, three monstrous calves for 75 is like, okay. You know, it's like, it's expensive,
but
again,
now with the pound dropping.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen now?
Oh, we have, it's so much to talk about today, Steve. So much to talk about. Gotta make, okay. So the, so that was my experience. Like, based on my first game, I would give it a kind of like, probably a B minus.
Good.
But that was my first game. Like, if I played it some more, I might find some other things with it. It might drop down to like a C plus, depending. But otherwise, it was a fine game. Once again, we didn't play it with the rules, with the points, because they announced the General's Compendium, and of course, all of the points leaked immediately, which GW has not done in forever and a day. Had anything like that leaked?
Well. Leaked with like the heaviest of quotation marks.
Well, it's because they ship books to like all the retailers early, so they can do a preview copy, and then of course
they know full well it's gonna
happen. Scummy retailers just take pictures and put it on 4chan.
They know full well that's gonna happen when they do that.
Yeah,
that's their PR plan for this book, and it worked. Like, it got me excited. Like, I was like, oh shit, Age of Sigmar, it's playable. You can play games with
it. Well, yeah, because now what you do is you buy in the blocks of the minimum, which you explained to me, because I was like, I don't have the book. I don't know what these points mean.
Yeah.
Is it 110 points per model?
Yeah, because it'll say like 10 to 30, and it'll say 180.
Yeah.
And it's 180 per 10.
Yeah.
But the way it works is if you can field a smaller than max, but you still have to pay for the full chunk. So if you field 19 models, you still have to pay 180.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter that you're only fielding 9.
It's 360.
And then if you're fielding 29, it's 180.
Yeah.
It's little chunks.
Yeah.
So, like, you have to do it like that.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it's not, I don't think it's anything outside the realm. One of the things that I kind of think that they, one of the things I liked when I played the game that I kind of feel might get lost when we with the point system is the just throw the big guys on the table for the hell of it. Now, granted, I played with two guys who knew exactly what they were doing with this game. They play Age of Sigmar all the time. They're GW managers. They know what a balanced army looks like. So when I brought my stuff out on the table, they were like, okay, this will balance well against it. Now, you can't go to a store against some scrub and they'll be like, oh, this is good. I'm going to put this out on the table. And
or if you're both new to the game, you don't know what the fuck a balanced game is. You're like, I think that looks good.
Yeah.
And then you spend 2 hours to find out that, like, oh, that wasn't balanced.
Oh, the games do not last 2 hours. The games last maybe an hour.
That's good.
Yeah. The game was relatively short, and we played a bigger game. But, you know,
That's good.
Yeah. I had, I think, 5 units on the table. Wait, it was like five against five, but they balanced it out pretty well. But what I kind of liked was that, you know, one guy brought the Nurgle special character, another guy brought a Chaos Lord and a Manticore, And that was kind of cool. Like, you wouldn't normally think that that would just be on the... But the guy just plopped it on the table. One guy brought Archeon in another game that we were... That, I was like, whoa, that's a giant model. But the,
I hate that model.
I do, too. Everyone was fawning over it. I'm like, it looks stupid.
I actually hate the heads on that fucking
thing. Oh, my God,
thing.
They're the worst. If they were just standard dragon heads, it'd be
if
so
it was
much
just a
cooler.
Three-headed dragon, yeah, it'd be like, oh, right.
One of the heads looks like a penis. It literally
that's the
looks like a
head.
Yeah, it literally looks like a penis. Yeah. It should be the Slaanesh head.
You can't even tell what this is.
Oh, wait, Slaanesh is dead.
This is a gargoyle. actually, I've heard Slaanesh is coming back.
Ooh, in pog form?
In pog form.
In penis form.
Yeah, well, Slash is coming back with all of the sexual content removed.
Oh.
That's the... That's what I hood. That's what I hood,
Let's be fair.
It's going to be... The book is going to be Slaanesh versus elves, I guess.
I'm a 35-year-old gamer. Tabletop gamer.
You need boobies on your models?
I want to be perverse. Let's just put it that way. Like, I should be able to. And heavy breathe whenever a girl comes into the game store.
Well, then you do that already. Like, you...
Yeah, it's pretty much how it would sound at the game store.
Yeah, I mean, you already can do that.
Yeah. I would probably never play this game pickup. That's just me personally. I would probably only play this amongst
friends.
Yeah,
but if it was the best game in the world, you wouldn't play it pickup.
I might.
I mean, maybe 1 out of 10 chance.
Yeah. I'm really picky with that. But the... so they released the point cost on it. Everything feels... From looking at it, it looks okay. I just kind of feel like they booted a lot of, like, the big stuff that... I mean, like, to be fair, Setra costs 1,000 points. And so, like, you're not going to really bring... I think what they said... What would they say was, like, the minimum... Like, they said, like, playing around, like, was it 1,200 or something like that?
Yeah, because they say if you're playing smaller than, I think it is 1,200, something like that, like, you should just
like
not
that.
Use points.
Yeah.
They're like, if you're playing smaller than that, like, don't bother using points. Just play with what you got.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, the...
Yeah, it's, like, 1,250.
Yeah, I think
something
so.
Like that, 1,500.
Probably going to end up being a yay, baby. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's great on the podcast.
I hope everyone enjoyed. I think the standard's probably going to end up being just like it was, 2,400 points.
That's way too big from what I played.
People will cram the points of monsters, though.
That's true. But from what I saw, I would much rather play a smaller game of it because I feel it was quicker, it was more fun, and it didn't feel as cost intensive. I mean, because one of the other things is like when you're playing these battle tomes, like the Iron Jaws, they really only have like 6 units.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, what's the point in taking like 8 of like these?
All of the newer designed armies are like that. They're all much smaller. Like the Rotbringers, the Nurgle Mortals, they have one battle line unit.
Yeah.
They have the Blight Kings. That's it.
And it's like, what's the point of taking all of these different... And what's the point of taking anything big when you're just going to have the same units over and over and over again?
Right.
It's really annoying really fast.
Right. And it encourages smaller points games, which... I like.
Yeah, I think that's like one of the key things. And you know, I was kind of in stewing on this. I was like, well, the whole point of the original age, if we look at this as like some kind of grand scheme, long run scheme, overarching plot to this game, it's that
an experiment.
The original no points cost was designed to get you to learn the rules without having to worry about point costs or anything like that or balance. Just get out there and learn the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fine, but they should have announced it that way and say, like, hey, guys, points will be coming, but this is here so you could just get to learn how to play the
game. Doubling down on the, like, there's no points. There will never be points. That was a bad call.
Yeah, because I was just like, well, fuck you. You'll never see me play this game without points.
Yeah.
So I think that was a big mistake on their part.
Oh, yeah, tons of people. You can tell because of the amount of hype and... people getting into the game surrounding the General's Compendium happening. Because like me, like, I don't want to play pickup games. I want to play tournaments. So I want to go to tournaments and be able to play them. And having non-made up rule sets to play the tournament is the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go like, oh, well, we're using the GT 2K15 comp rules. So this is how you have to build your army. It's like, what?
Well, I was, you know, as I said, I stewed about this for like a week and I was looking online at like different ways that they've done point costs.
Oh, there's like 7.
And they're so dumb. So dumb.
Add the wounds to the bravery, multiply by this, and then subtract this, and take this to the quantum square root of 73.
And now, like, I look at, like, the Ninth Age rules, and I you know, I know guys that were instrumental in creating the Ninth Age. I know guys, like, former Bunker Rats who were, like, part of that whole scheme of creating Ninth Age. And I want to be nice to them and be like, oh, that's great that you guys are doing it. But I look at those Ninth Age rules, and I'm just like, you guys are idiots. You made this game infinitely more complicated than it should be.
It's just a continue. It's just more 8th edition.
Yeah.
Like, it's just more 8th edition with the... From what I've seen, it's more 8th edition with the out of whack shit like pulled away.
Yeah,
like you can't, like, there's no super bullshit spells anymore.
Yeah, but they tried to lawyer it, and so all of the rules are like over explained.
Yeah, I mean if you're gonna make your own rule set, if you're gonna make a made up rule set, why bother going off of such a broken framework as 8th?
Yeah, thank you. That's
like you're making your own rule set. Why go off the most broken framework that Warhammer Fantasy ever had? Like,
yeah.
Probably should scale it back. Obviously, you know why I'd say 6th edition, but I think so. I mean, 6th edition had to be the most popular. Like, there had to be more fantasy players. Because now that, like, obviously this is my only, you know, tainted by the very narrow lens of my personal experience, but it seemed that there were more Warhammer Fantasy players when 6th edition was the edition. Like, that was when fantasy was like a rising game.
It was rising.
Well, the armies were more reasonably sized. It was easier to get into. Like, they had battle, fuck, I talk about it all the time. Warbands,
yeah.
You know, Warbands was a fantastic way to play the game.
Mordheim.
And a great way to get into the game. You know, but Warbands, the Warbands campaign I played, and I've probably talked about it on the cast before, but, like, that was the most fun I've ever had playing Warhammer Fantasy. And it was just so fucking cool. It was, you know, just the combination of being able to do the campaign, but the armies were a smaller scale, so all of those, like, little gains, using the General's Compendium, all of those little gains, like... were so big when it was Warbands. It's like that unit get, like, you know, got like plus one to their save like once per round. It's like, oh shit.
And,
like,
actually, a lot of people don't know this, but 6th edition actually had the most armies in the game. So after 6th edition, when 7th edition came out, Dogs of War and Chaos Dwarves officially got dropped.
Right.
At 6th edition, they had Dogs of War, Chaos Dwarves, and they brought in Ogres. So you actually had the most amount of armies to play with in 6th edition. Though one can make the argument that Chaos... Well, no, because I guess Chaos, you could make a full Beastman army in the Chaos with the Chaos book.
Yeah. The Beastmen had their own book. In 6th edition, all of the Chaos books were separate. They didn't have a Demon book. They had...
Yeah, I was going to say the Demon book didn't exist.
They had Warriors of Chaos and Beasts of Chaos.
Yeah.
And then the Demons were in the Warriors of Chaos and the Beasts of Chaos book, and they were also in the Storm of Chaos
book.
Yeah. Like, if you wanted to play a Demon list, you'd play Storm of Chaos.
Storm of Chaos. I love you so much.
Storm of Chaos was busted. Like, that was an actual problem.
Yeah, And then, okay, so General's Compendium's coming out. I say, if you're interested in Age of Sigmar, go for it. You're really only going
to need... It's only going to be $30.
Yeah, you're really only going to need probably that book and whatever battle tome you want to use. So, like...
If that.
So, let's say you have a... you want to play with your High Elves. You just buy the armies of Light or whatever the hell order, and then you... Which I think that book is like $25-$30 because it's a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy that, and then you get the General's Compendium, and that's all you need to play. And because the actual, like, combat rules are so easy.
The 4-page rule book.
Yeah, that you don't need to worry about.
That's in the back of every book.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is,
that's something I like. That the fact it's a 4-page rule book, they put it in
every
book.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I highly recommend not playing with the terrain. Do not give GW that win. Because there's one thing I cannot stand. It's terrain rules like that. Terrain rules should simply be, does it block line of sight, or is it hard to get through? Those are the only two things that you should have to worry about with terrain. And actually, we played with a lot of terrain on the table, and it worked pretty well.
But it's got mysterious landscapes.
Don't get me started. With the awful GW terrain that's way overpriced.
Oh, the gates,
everything is way overpriced on that. And then, you know, they're also, so to celebrate the release of their new army book, or the General's Compendium, they're releasing a new army.
Like, the thing is that the terrain doesn't do anything, as far as I know, like, other than having the special rules, the terrain has no effect. Am I wrong?
Some of it does.
Because it says it can move across scenery, but not through it. So you can't move through a solid wall, pass, or tree, obviously. In addition, once you set up, you roll this or pick a rule for each terrain feature.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. No. No, Steve, no.
Yeah, they don't have any, like, movement restrictions.
Wait,
so.
No, hold on.
Other than, like, it's terrain's either impassable or not in the game.
No, not this terrain. I'm talking, like, the special terrain pieces. Like,
oh!
Like the Wizard's Tower.
Oh, not the rulebook terrain.
No.
You're talking about the War Scroll terrain.
Yes.
Yes, that's stupid.
Yeah, never play with War Scroll terrain.
Okay. Now I'm getting... I was saying, because, like, those terrain rules are, like, the simplest...
I was trying to figure out why you were so mad about it. Screw that.
Okay, you're talking about, like, the War Scroll that says, like, Chaos Dreadhold.
Yeah.
And, like, has all of the special rules for that.
Yeah. Screw that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Because there are people who bring that as, like, part of their lists.
Okay.
And I'm like, screw you. It's so 40K nonsense.
All right. Now we're on this. Now the page we're on, it's the same.
So, and then, as I said, they were to release the new General's Companion. They're releasing a new army. The Sylvants. Because people want to play trees. They want to play living trees.
They're super fucking popular.
I hate those models. I hate every one of those models.
I liked them when they were in the Wood Elf Army. I like them now.
No. Well, because those weren't in the Wood Elf Army. The only one of those that was in the Wood Elf Army were the Dryads and the Treemen.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Of those models.
And Drycha. Yeah. And
Drycha, but...
And they look... These ones look like bigger versions of those ones. Except for the Power Armor one.
It's so stupid looking. I hate all of those.
Someone
models.
Said it was like the Imperial Knight or the Grey Knight wearing the baby carrier Grey Knight.
Yeah, the Judicator or whatever.
I have to do some pushback on that one because the reason that the Judicator is so silly is because it's a dude in Terminator armor. In like the papoose, like that's what makes it funny. It's like if it was just a space marine, like a scout or something, like in like a little like roll cage or whatever, like it would be much less ludicrous. But like the dude is in a tank, riding in a tank, like I've got a. It's so fucking silly. It's
get off of her, you bitch.
Yeah, it's, yeah, exactly. Like it's not as ludicrous as that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like the Wood Elf models.
Oh, I think they're. I hate the design of them.
I love the Treemen.
They're not Wood Elf models. They're Treemen.
Sylvaneth.
They're Sylvaneth. They are not
Wood
Elves.
I
love Wood Elves, but because that GW right now hates elves for some reason.
This is what Wood Elves have turned into.
Yeah,
feel it.
they've turned into power. Like they've turned into elves wearing wood armor.
I think that's a special character.
It's
I think
stupid.
That's Drycha in like a
no. Drycha's it's her own character.
There's a well, no, I think that like that's another version. Cause, well, it looks like her, so I don't fucking.
Yeah.
I didn't look into it. I'm not playing that army.
No, I'm not playing that army either because I don't want to play trees.
The beetle is fucking sick.
No. You know what I want to do with that model, Steve? You know what I want to do
with
that?
Put it up your butt?
No.
Because you're so turned on by it.
You know what I want to do to that model? I want to take a. I want to get a nice display base, and I want to take a big old shit on there and roll it up into a ball just so I can say, hey, you want to see my giant dung beetle? Like, look at this. Look at this big ball of shit it's pushing around. That's what I want to do.
I like that model.
Oh, it's so stupid, and it's not going to be painted well because it's all black, and no one knows how to paint all black models, Steve.
Well, you should just not paint it black.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to paint it? They going to paint it pink?
Sure.
No,
it would look better than all black.
Screw that. That model is awful.
Just spray it black. Spray it gloss, baby.
Illyrial. Oh, that's great. Oh, what is that thing on her back? I don't know. It looks like some big old piece of shit that's hanging off her back. Some drapey pieces of shit that are hanging off her back.
The leaf wings?
They're not even leaf wings, Steve. They look like shit. That's what they look like. No, they look like someone took sticks and hung shit on that to dry.
The leaf wings?
They just happen to be painted green. Which I know I've shit green sometimes too.
I like them. As you're raging, my boner for liking these models is growing larger.
Oh yeah, go ahead. You can love them as much as you want.
I love it
because to paraphrase the movie Big, it's like who wants to play with a building? Like, can't it just be like a big bug or something? Like, no, they're a bunch of fucking trees. Who's gonna play with a bunch of fucking trees?
A lot of people actually.
Yeah, I know. Well, because they're
stoked about it because so many people were already playing the army with just the three models available.
Yeah,
the big trees, the little trees, and the what's a who's it?
You couldn't even play with little trees because they didn't even really. Those were hard to get. The
plastic kits? They're widely available.
No, not the...
Oh, the medium ones.
Yeah, the medium ones.
Yeah, 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 the ogre-sized ones.
Yeah, those guys were...
Those are hard to get.
I got a set of three of those from my old Wood Elf army, yeah. But I'm like, I'm not going to rebase these
guys. I think they're pretty much usurped and replaced by the new ones now.
Yeah,
that
they're replaced by the, get off of her, you bitch!
No, there's
I'm a tree!
There's a new series of ogre ones, which just look like smaller versions of the really big one.
Yeah.
They have a great weapon, but...
Oh, those are so
A
terrible.
Scythe or a bow.
Terrible, 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 terrible. Oh, they have a bow. Because trees like to use bows.
It's magic bows.
It's BS is what it is. Why does a tree have a sword? It's a fucking tree. It should just be whomping people with it. You know, Treebeard never used a fucking sword.
Technically trees. They're wood elementals.
Yeah, you never see.
They're not Ents.
You know how the Ents took down Isengard with fucking stone and branch? Model's fucking sick?
The fucking Ent from Lord of the Rings. That, like, plastic Ent kit. That's a fucking sick kit.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
I like it.
I liked it because it's slightly goofy, but it's not too goofy.
Which is exactly what the Ents look like.
Yeah. These guys, like, they're all, like, supposed to look all badass. And I'm like, you know what could kill you? Anything that's made of metal. Anything. Because it could just hack right through you. And you're flammable. Yeah, fire can burn you.
I don't think flammable is a rule anymore.
Yeah. You know what else could kill him? Dutch Elm's disease, Steve. Dutch Elm's disease. Screw those models. Where's the elves?
It's awesome.
I don't know. That was my. That's my. Like, Age of Sigmar. It's a B minus game for me. I would. It's nothing that I would play regularly or go to the store and be like, "Hey guys, want to play some Age of Sigmar?" No, but I feel like if with my game group, if like every once in a while they were like, "Hey, let's play some Age of Sigmar." Okay, I'll bring up my little army of orcs and have fun with it. It'll be fine. But I cannot see myself A, rebasing any of my old models. B, building any more than one army, or C, giving a shit about anything new that's released. Like, the one thing I absolutely do love about it, and as I say, I like that the books are relatively affordable. They're releasing them like they're fucking LSD on a playground, but I wouldn't mind picking up a bunch of them, because I think it's pretty well done on that end.
I stand by you. One army seems solid. You know, yeah. I'm just going to do Nurgleman, and then call it a day. Yeah. I'm getting it because I want to play in tournaments for a game. I want to see, like, I want to actually play a game where other people are playing it.
Yeah.
So I decided I'm going to go with this one because I'm not doing 40K. And yeah, it seems fine.
And as I said, I think one of the cooler things is
And definitely not doing War Machine.
Like, because I've heard, like, people are just, like, poo-pooing the new War Machine, holding their noses up,
well, there's
pinching them with stink.
There's a lot of bungles.
They've bungled it.
There's a lot of bungles. Like, a lot of...
Warmhordes bungles is their new book.
A lot of, if this game was in development for the 3 years, they said it was unacceptable bungles.
Say it like lemon, like lemon grab.
Unacceptable!
I just like the name of the book. I like to see, like, the Mark III book be called War... Like, you know, not War Machine Prime, War Machine Bungles. That's what I want to see it called. All right, so... oh, Jesus, we talked for 40 minutes on Age of Sigmar. Jesus Christ.
You got a huge boner for Age of Sigmar.
So, next up, good news for us Americans here on July 4th. Steve, do you have any July 4th traditions that you like?
Nope.
No? You know what my July 4th tradition is?
I stay indoors.
My July 4th tradition is I watch two movies. I watch Jaws, even though that's kind of a Memorial Day movie.
And Independence Day?
No. In 1776...
Welcome to Earth.
The musical about the founding of our country. Because nothing's more American than seeing John Adams sing about the Constitution.
That sounds awful.
I fucking love that movie. Yeah. And you know what? You know how
everything you are doing is bad.
You know how we celebrate the July 4th this year? By buying models from Britain because they tank their own pound, Steve.
It's not low enough yet. I need the real, like... The real crash.
The real crash.
I want the parody.
You want the parody? It's. I don't know if it's gonna get that far, but the it's definitely hitting there. It ended the week really low, so that's actually pretty good for us. $1.32 compared to the $1.36 and the $1.58 it was like right before the Brexit.
Yes.
And then everyone went, oh crap. People are really dumb, and it crashed. It crashed big, and now your guy, the Donald Trump of Britain, is not going to be the
Bojo. Bojo ran away.
Bojo ran away.
Bojo's Bizarre Adventure.
Bojo's Bizarre Adventure is no longer going to be. I like this. We're going to call this segment Joe and Steve.
Bojo's Bizarre Adventure.
Joe and Steve don't know enough about the British political system.
Joe and Steve, UK experts.
UK game classy on the British Empire. Yeah. Yeah, I like that there's a woman who's probably going to be prime minister who's like super crazy. Like, I think she doesn't believe in evolution or anything like that. She's one of those people, one of those nut jobs.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah. And plus that Nigel Farage or whatever his name is, Farage, that guy's hysterical looking.
The best thing I saw.
He looks like a villain from V for Vendetta.
The absolute best thing I saw from that guy was that it was some morning show in Britain, and she's like, so they were talking about the £350 million that we send the week to the EU, and that's going to be so we want to know when that's going to go to NHS, which was part of the Brexit plan. And Nigel Farage is like, oh, I never said that, and I would never say that. I think that was one of the mistakes. And then she's like, wait, that was one of the pillars of your campaign. Yeah. There was a giant bus that said like £350 million to the EU every week. We should put that to the NHS. And like, that's not happening.
No, so, of course not.
It's so funny because this entire thing, like Bojo and all that stuff, like the entire they were setting up to lose. They expected to lose. And the whole point was that Bojo could have been this like stalwart, shining
guy who wanted this to happen.
Right. Who in 2020 could run for the prime minister and like nail it.
Well, they don't run for prime minister, but he could be elected prime minister.
Well, you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I just didn't want our British listeners going like, putting down their tea, putting down their monocle, and going, I should write them a stern letter.
It'll be sternly worded.
It'll be sternly worded.
That was his 2020 bid for prime minister. Like, yeah. And like it exploded spectacularly. And now you see the leadership of the Brexit camp are like fumbling all over them fucking selves because they're like, oh fuck, we won. What do we do?
Are they bumbling?
They're bumbling and fumbling.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see. Like it looks like it's a huge disaster. I'm sure that it will eventually shake down and be okay.
I've already put in two pretty big orders worth of stuff off the British pound because I'm like, I'm going to spend money and get some good stuff for free.
Yeah, I mean, I think it lost like 12% its value. So like that's like billions and billions of dollars that is just gone now.
Yeah. And I mean, it sucks for our economy. And
it sucks for the world economy. Like, it's a destabilizing element in the economy. Like, yeah, that's not what you want.
No.
But especially because we're coming off of a pretty shitty economy in like 2008. Like, yeah, we're still recovering from that eight years ago.
Yeah. But I can still buy models for cheap. That's the nice thing. Or
there's
cheaper.
There's that short term juice. I'm like,
exactly.
Gonna get them models.
And Illinois passed a budget, so now I can actually go back to work in the fall.
Whoa, that happened?
Yeah.
Hey, that's good. I can stop trolling Bruce Rauner's Facebook page.
Well, you can still no. I have to pick
something else now.
Oh no, this is just a temporary one. It's only a 6 month budget. Oh, it's not like a full budget. Okay. So you get to troll as much as you want.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Because as much as we want to make fun of British politics, Illinois politics is a freak show.
Yeah.
So there you go. There
you've got scumbags or criminals or criminal scumbags. That's who you can vote for.
What's our theme for like Joe and Steve talk Brexit? Joe and Steve, we talk about the Brexit.
Game classy talking about Brexit.
Okay,
we don't really know a fucking thing about it.
There you go. Yeah, see, you rhymed at the end. You were losing it there, and you brought it back. That's how it works.
Yes, it works.
All right, so that's a good thing. You haven't ordered anything yet.
No. I said I'm gambling. I'm gonna go like because there's nothing I like critically need. So I'm waiting for the parody. Like I'm gonna wait for the absolute plunge.
All right. So how am I going to do this? Steve, why don't you bring up the questions on your phone? Because we did a small mailbag, and I'll record us talking about it. We're going to do the live a little live stream right here for the Game Classy page. So you're just going to sit with us for a second. All right.
I'm ready. I have the page up.
You have the page up. So you're going to read them, and I will do the live video for it.
You want me to mount it on you?
No, it's fine. Mail bag live stream. There we go. That's going to be the title. And we're going to go live in 3, 2, 1. Hey, live stream. Steve, right. You're there.
Hello.
We're going to do that. We're talking the mailbag questions right now.
If you
live on the podcast.
Stuart Williams, if you were asked to come in and fix 40K, what one change would you make to not make it the broken mess it is now? I'd remove the allies rules. If I can only do one change, that is what I would do. I would immediately remove the allies rules.
Yeah. There's lots of changes I would like to make.
You can only get one.
I can only get one.
You only get one.
I'd probably remove stupid terrain rules.
They don't have the stupid terrain rules.
Yeah, they do.
Do they?
Oh. Oh, yeah, they do. Like, you could buy barricades and all that nonsense.
Oh, that, yeah. The buy a terrain.
Buy a terrain. Okay. I would get rid of buy a terrain. Absolutely.
And then His follow-up, I know it is probably a moot point, but I'm curious as to what ex-staffers would want in the game to make them play it again. Make it more like Age of Sigmar. I don't want a million billion rules, so many, because that's a game where you need to chase the source books, and you need to like be up on it constantly, and you have to be ready, like, because if there's a new unit that your army can ally with, well, you need to buy it because your list is no longer the best because you have to combo it with this.
Yeah, I think,
and that game is buried in fucking
I think
minutia.
I'll go a little bit further on that. I think bringing it down to the Age of Sigmar stat line. Like, I think doing that way, getting rid of the hit to wound the boxes, I think is a very good thing with big games like that. I think that helps out a lot. I actually think, as you said, I think on the smaller games, the hit boxes are great. But on the big games like that where you're rolling buckets of dice, that box is nonsense.
Yeah, you don't want that to hit to wound to say, like, all of that, like, the charts. There's too many charts for, for a game that's, like, big, that has a lot of models.
Yeah.
Because that's what bogs it down. I mean, you have to figure, like, miscellaneous die rolls are probably at least an extra hour added onto all those games.
Yeah. We have two viewers, Steve. Ooh. Two people are watching us. Oh, now it's just one.
That sounds about right. Jason Yarborough, is War Machine Mark III really Mark 2.5? No. Not
really. You would know this more than I would. I haven't paid attention to it at all.
Not really? Like... I mean, I always hate the 0.5 distinctions. The rules are very similar. The points are very similar, but they shook up a lot of things. They changed the terrain rules a lot. I mean, it's not a complete overhaul. So if that's your opinion of a new edition, then it is Mark 2.5.
It seems like a third edition to me, at least in terms of War Machine.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't.
It's just as big of a change from 1 to 2 as 2 to 3.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think the 0.5 distinctions are usually like pretty pointless, with the sole exception of the one time I've seen it like straight up work, which was D&D 3 to 3.5, because like 3.5 was basically a cleaned up version of 3. Like there was no definitive changes anywhere other than like some feats being changed.
Yeah, I mean, like, you could go back to like 40K. Like in 40K, the difference between second edition and third edition was gigantic.
Oh, huge.
But the difference between third and fourth,
not as big.
And fourth and fifth even was not as big. Fifth to sixth was relatively large.
Right. The edition changes are supposed to be about creep. Like, you know, Age of Sigmar is obviously a huge change.
Yeah.
It's a new game. Yeah, it's a new game. But like, so it's not like that kind of level.
Three people watching.
It's not that kind of level, but it's 2.5 if you want. I mean, the tiny incremental changes is what, you know, edition changes are nowadays. Like that's just the way they are. You don't want to have these sweeping changes every edition, because then you have people who are like, I don't know how to fucking play this game anymore.
By the way, guys, if you are watching and you do want to add a comment, feel free to, so that way we can answer them live on the live right now.
Daniel Viswan Cade, is Pat B of Pat B's Retro Video Games Reviews too butthurt about E3 in general, or is it no different to us poor neckbeards and the various tabletop butthurtery? I did respond. I said the E3 episode of Play On is available, sir. I think Pat was very, very butthurt about Ubisoft. but other than that, he seemed pretty, you know, it seemed like average.
A good friend, Angel Baker, checked in from work.
Ooh.
That's what he said. Let me tell you this. I've known Pat B for a very long time. He has always pumped up E3 to the
jam,
to the point where it's like, Pat, you've never liked it. You always pump this up every year, and then every year you get so angry at it. Every year. So why is this going to be any different?
No, was okay with everything except for Ubisoft. He was very upset about Ubisoft.
Yeah. And he hates What's-Her-Face from Archer.
Aisha Tyler?
Oh, he hates her so much.
I mean, she's not
so
funny.
I don't think she's funny either. She's like one of those people like, I'm a nerd. Isn't this funny?
Kind of like, don't think she's funny.
Kind of like a Chris Hardwick, like in a lot of ways.
She's like
a female
guy.
I used to like him, but he got like,
so Aisha Tyler, Chris Hardwick, best movie billing.
Oh yeah, or Will Wheaton in a lot of ways too.
I fucking hate Will Wheaton.
Yeah, yeah.
Raza Deacon, are you guys available for commissions? Maybe.
I do one commission. I've pretty much been out of commissions because I have a big boy job and I make enough money where I don't have to worry about it. However, I still have one commission from one guy who has me paint like Lord of the Rings models, because the guy is like 90 years old and he pays me like out of like his pocket change. And I'm just like, I feel too bad to like stop. I've been working for him for like 10 years now. Right, and it's just like, he's just kind of like, do it whenever, it's fine. And I kind of just slap some paint on models to give it to him. I'm like, maybe when he croaks, he'll leave me like a bunch of his Lord of the Rings stuff in his will.
Mm.
James Brandt says, why won't Joe show himself? And I think it's because Steve is much more photogenic.
Yes, Joe fears the camera.
I do. I don't really fear. Hi, because I'm holding the camera. That's the main reason. So that's the reason why I don't show my face. I don't even know if you could see me. Maybe right now.
Yeah, you can see. Okay. You kind of look like Adam Savage.
Yeah, a little bit. I actually met Adam Savage.
Yeah, the picture of you with your glasses swapped is funny. Timothy Franklin asks, how does it feel now that the British are officially as dumb as Americans? I'm like, I don't know if that's official.
No. You know what? The British, the difference is that Britain is the size of, like, the state of Illinois. So, like, America has this whole thing called the South, which contains, like, three times the population of Britain, which are all dumber than Britain.
True.
Per capita, and I think just the amount of dumb people is much greater in America.
Yeah, I mean, they only won Brexit by, like, what, 2%?
Yeah.
So, like, it's not...
And we all know that Supreme Lord Trump is going to win by a landslide, at least according to a lot of the guys on my Facebook.
Supreme Overlord Trump.
Yes, he will feed us all with his Trump steaks and educate us in Trump University.
There's a follow-up question. Should Americans top that by electing Trump to keep the number one title? I think Trump is going to lose horribly. Like, I don't think I think if he wins, it would be outrageous, but I think it would take an objective miracle for Trump to take the presidency at this point.
Yeah.
Like, his campaign would need to get a huge upswing. Cause right now, like, the only people who he has like people who are just like, I'm voting Republican, period.
Yeah.
He has those people in his camp. Then he has people who are legitimately like, I'm racist. Like, they're voting for him as well.
As we always say, not all Republicans are racist, but all racists are Republicans.
Yeah. And then you have, like, nationalists. Like, you have a lot of people who are like, you know, the KKK is endorsing him, like, fully. Like,
did you see his new thing that he got in trouble for?
Oh, the Jewish star?
The Jewish star.
The Star of David.
And people are like, this isn't the real Jewish star because it's filled in. And then, like, someone posted a picture of, like Nazi propaganda that has, like, the same star on it. And they're like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's clearly.
Hold on. Angel asked us a question. There was a low period in the RPG world where D&D sucked and everyone else was dragged down. When 5th edition came out, it was hailed as the savior of RPGs. Looking back now, has the RPG market recovered, or is the way that they're handling 5th edition still hindering the market?
5th edition has recovered the D&D brand very well. It's punished Pathfinder, like, terribly. Like, Pathfinder is like, taking a beating. We're still selling a decent amount of Pathfinder, but in comparison, it's a ghost of what it was.
Yeah.
As overall, like, the RPG market, it's, like, kind of growing, but it's so slow.
I think the RPG market is kind of growing into, like, a boutique niche market.
I mean, D&D is huge. Like, D&D's, like, we've already, like, D&D 5th has already outsold 4th. So there are more people playing D&D now than there were before.
What I'm saying is like, what you see is a lot of small stuff like Numenera or Legends of the Flame Princess. Like, these smaller games.
Yeah, new books. New games are like...
like, very niche, and they're designed for very specific people. Like, the only of the big games that still exist, like, from, like, the heyday of...
Shadowrun, Call of Cthulhu.
Like, Shadowrun, Call of Cthulhu, D&D. Pathfinder is, like, the newest game that really people like to play regularly.
Yeah, as far as new games, like, one that isn't a legacy title, the only one that exists is Pathfinder, which technically is a legacy title because 3.5 came out in the 90s.
Jim Bitzer joined.
Hey, Jim. Hello.
Hey, Jim. Hey, Jim, we were just talking about you, and we were talking about, Glitter on Your Pillow. That was the story, so I can't really tell it on the podcast, but just Glitter on the Pillow. Kyle Rasmussen says, hey, dudes, good morning. Good morning, Kyle.
Raza Deacon is another one. Have you fellows ever thought about writing an RPG, skirmish, or model game? Would you be interested in helping a game company to create a game? Yes, I think about writing RPG, skirmish, and model games all the fucking time.
I don't. However, when we were talking about that Krampus game, I really thought hard about it. I'm like, this game could work. I like this game.
Also, the sitcom RPG.
Oh, the sitcom RPG, I think, is a great idea.
Would I be interested in helping a game company? Sure.
Yeah. Just get in contact with Steve.
Raza Deacon again. I like your crossover episodes. Is Pat B from Play On or Kevin from Comic Book Logic going to join you guys for an upcoming show?
Kevin will not. Kevin knows nothing about tabletop games.
it'd be awesome. We should ask open-ended questions and defer to him. Like, what do you think?
Kevin would be like, I have no idea. I think Kevin played Dungeons & Dragons like a couple times in high school. That was it.
Nice.
And I've played a couple board games with him. One of his favorite board games is Vatican, the board game. Have you seen this?
No.
His wife works at a very religious school, like college not too far from here. and they were throwing out a bunch of stuff, and they were throwing out a copy of Vatican, the board game. And eventually the whole thing is like to become the Pope.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Does it have murder and intrigue?
No, apparently it's like super, super dumb, but at the same time.
I was excited and then I wasn't.
Yes. You do get to hit your opponents in the head with a silver hammer.
Anthony
Carroll says, hi, folks.
Hello. Pat B will probably join us at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get Pat.
He's working on robots right now.
Robot Pat. He's going with me to the Renaissance Fair next weekend.
When is the Star Trek RPG show? I have been looking forward to it since you mentioned it. While we're on the subject, your side or offshoot show like the Halloween specials have been fantastic. I'm really looking forward to your next one.
We should do like a 15-minute like Star Trek RPG.
I mean, that would be the spinoff special.
Like, yeah,
that's not something that like is planned.
No.
Yeah, and I would never want to commit to like a theme podcast like that. Like,
no.
I think it'd be good for like one, maybe two episodes.
Yeah, we'd have to get like two more people to be in it, like to like do the characters, and then I'd have Steve run it as Picard.
No Worf.
And it would have to have like
I don't really do a good Picard.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you're the only one. I can't do Picard. I have the guns now, John.
I've got the guns now, John. I'll just do John Lithgow running it.
John Lithgow running.
Now, everyone, get your character sheets out. It's good stuff.
Okay.
More Raza. I know you guys watch Game of Thrones. I haven't watched the new season yet at all. Have you noticed that the different houses have different armor and weapons, and some use tactics that are unique to that house? What do you think about that level of detail? Have you heard of any company that is putting out a Game of Thrones line of models that use the show property? There's no models using the show property.
No, the only one who has the person who has the rights is Dark Sword, and they make stuff based on their own sculpts.
Yeah, and the
when
books.
They're not terrible, but they're very, very Larry Elmore-esque, which is like everything is very thin and realistic looking armor, which does not do anything for me.
The show IP is too expensive.
Yeah,
the show IP, like,
right
you'd spend so much money on just like likeness rights, like you would never be able
likeness
to make money
rights back. And plus all that armor is really well done. I mean, I can't spoil too much, but they did a whole thing with the Tower of Joy, and like even the swords are like very unique to the people, and it's
very cool.
It's fascinating to see, like, it's kind of like when Lord of the Rings came out and they released those like guides to
the 15-hour appendices.
Well, no, it's like they released the books that are like and the appendices, but the books were like the armor and swords of Lord of the Rings, and you'd look through the book and you'd be like,
so
cool how they do. Look, Boromir's chainmail is connected to his shirt. It's not actual chainmail underneath. And
yes.
Oh, hold on.
I love that level of detail.
Angel Baker says, make a Patreon for one of the rewards for the Star Trek episode. Make it so. It's too much work. James Brant says,
no, Patreon's how you get people to give you money and you actually don't give them anything in return.
Yes. No, just fantasy art with cat girls.
That's true. Yeah, those guys make fucking buckets of ducats. But they actually do the artwork, so.
James Brant says, look into the camera and promise me you didn't sell the RG Justice. I don't know what that is.
Actually, The Justice has I got a good story about the Justice for you. I spent an entire day working on the Justice, and I'm like putting it together. It was a fucking brutal kit. And actually, if you go on Amazon,
it's a Gundam. Gundams.
And if you look at the reviews on Amazon, like everyone
we
talked
have
about,
11 people.
Everyone talked
right
about
now.
How brutal of a kit the Justice is. It's like a fucking, it's like a top tier brutal Gundam kit. And I'm spending all day working on this thing, and I'm getting frustrated because the kit's super hard, and I've never built a Gundam kit that was that hard. And I'm like, fuck, and I'm like doing it, and then sure enough, I get to the fucking head. Goddamn head is missing. Bandai does not have a replacement fucking program for the United States, so the Justice is incomplete. Will never be complete until I buy another one.
Rick Cole.
So I will.
Yeah.
I will buy another one. I will finish the original fucking Justice. God damn it.
Rick Cole says, seriously, the Star Trek RPG show would be amazing. I guess a lot of people like that. Anthony Carroll, did you get signed up for the Wrath of Kings at Gen Con now that you've got your fat bottom girls painted? Steve is not going to Gen Con.
Yeah, I'm not going to Gen Con. Fuck Gen Con.
I'll be going to Gen Con. I'll be sleeping in the trunk of my car.
Nice.
Because I refuse to pay the prices that they gouge on the hotel rooms there. But I'll probably be going Friday and Saturday. So if you look for me, I'll be the guy who will be giving himself a whore's bath inside one of the convention bathrooms.
Mark Linnell asks, do you think there are any fantasy skirmish games out there that are any good? Discounting Lord of the Rings, it is hella expensive, and Malifaux because the setting and art style is awful. Sellswords. Sellswords is a very good, very solid fantasy skirmish game that I think you'd enjoy. The only caveat to Sellswords is it uses a lot of sized dice.
It's
the one that goes up to D30.
Okay. Is that the game that's like Song of Blades or something like that? Or is that another one?
I think that's a different one.
Or Free Blades. Free Blades.
Free Blades. Free Blades. That's what I'm thinking of. Not Cell Swords. Free Blades.
Okay.
Free Blades is the game. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people really like that one. Yeah. Still hasn't taken off, but I know a lot of people like it as generic fantasy skirmish gaming.
I think a lot of people are turned off by the fact that it takes, you know, D30s, D20s.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Like, it uses all the dice.
Yeah.
But it's very skirmish. Like, you only use, like, three models or give or
take. Yeah, it's what is it called? It's the size of mercs, essentially.
Yeah, so, and so I'd play that. Free Blades. Not Cell Swords. Free Blades. Yeah, I'd suggest that. I think that's a really solid. I think that'll hit. It'll hit. It's fantasy. It's inexpensive.
Okay, hold on. I'm switching arms because my arm's getting tired.
And the system is good.
Okay.
Brett Miles, checking what your thoughts are now on the Age of Sigmar points and army composition now that have been leaked.
Well, we already did that.
Yeah, we like it. We'll probably give a full review on the General's Compendium when I have it in hand.
As I say, from what I've seen, I give the game a B-. Depending upon how the points actually will affect, like, metagaming and stuff like that. It might go down, it might go up, because I feel right now that the point system is going to limit a lot of the fun stuff, but at the same time, it might not, so who knows. Yeah. As I say, when you only offered five different models in your entire army, like, what's the point of not taking a big guy? Mark Linnell says, thanks, guys.
No problem. Brett Miles, also, Steve, have you done anything more with your Kingdom Death stuff that isn't move it to another spot and back? It's actually been in the same spot. I haven't moved it. It's still sitting in the closet, sealed, as it will sit until it's buried with me.
Angel Baker asks us, Facebook can send money. How much for an effing tripod for your phone, Joe? Well, the problem is not necessarily a tripod. It's just kind of setting it up so that we both can, like, get in the shot, because we actually do this podcast across from each other. Unlike a lot of podcasts where they sit on their fucking computers the entire time.
And Skype.
We actually meet once every 2 weeks and talk. We sit across the table from each other.
Delicious meat.
And stare at each other.
Stare into each other's eyes.
Yes.
Jeffrey H. Bushy. Now that Shitmar might have points, what is the ease of Sigmarines into one's rectum? The easiest way to get Sigmarines into one's rectum is by part. Don't assemble them first. You want to get them...
Well, no. And the sprue? That's because that makes it even bigger.
Well, not on the sprue. Clip them off the sprue and insert the parts into the
anus. You're
going to
be shitting pancakes.
Yeah. You don't want to get the entire sprue in there. That's rough.
Yeah.
And then... How much preparation H is advised for getting into Mark III? For War Machine, I would advise you, honestly, to not get into Mark III. It is a mess.
Yeah.
A huge mess. There's already a gigantic FAQ errata thing. There's a bunch of troll blood cards that are just not right. They're just actually misprinted. Angel actually sent me over a link of all of the errata, and, like, I was going to go over it on the podcast, but we don't have the time.
Yeah, maybe next podcast when I don't have any content whatsoever.
We can go over the disaster that is Mark III, and Mark III is a disaster right now. It just, the long and short is, if you want to get into Mark III, wait.
Yeah, that's, I would probably recommend that too.
Yeah, because there is a, I don't know what the, they said they're working on this game for 3 years, and there's units that don't work, like, just literally do not work. Like, so the way things die in War Machine is in a strict order. So if you have something that's removed from the game, that happens before something is destroyed. So it goes.
You went over this last podcast.
No, I went over it at the hobby night.
Oh,
none
at the
of the
hobby
listeners
night.
Heard
oh, yeah,
this.
Yeah. Sorry. By the way, we played Rex. Rex is a fun game.
It is. So it's removed from game, then destroyed. So you have a model that has an axe that, when it kills something, it removes them from the game, and then has an ability that when this unit destroys a model, it gets this skill. That can literally never work, because when it kills a model, it will remove the model from the game, and then the destroyed ability will look for a model destroyed, which it didn't, because the model's removed from the game. Literally printed, cannot work, not functional unit. And there's many units that fall into that example. There are rules that are written backwards. There's things.
Angel Baker just commented. He said 28 changes before the game was released.
28.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. And apparently there are broken combos already, like, that are like whoops broken, like, they didn't mean it. They're like, oh shit, like, we dropped the ball.
Are they the equivalent of an oopsie baby?
Yeah, basically. And Kyra, I guess, the sniper, Kira, whatever her name is, there's a sniper warcaster for Sigmar, and I guess she just has a flat 30% chance to kill the other warcaster as soon as the game starts.
Nice.
Like, you see it, you're just like, oh, you just huck dice and, like, try and activate your skills, and you got a good shot of actually just winning the game in the first turn.
All right, so is that it for the questions?
That is all the questions that I saw on the list.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching. We're going to sign off now and finish up the podcast. All right. Ending live video. All right. So, yeah, it just I guess one little caveat. We've already gone over our time, but it's not too bad. It's a July 4th. We can celebrate the birth of America. We actually sat down. Steve and I played a board game together, which I don't think we've ever actually. No, we've played a couple board games together. We played like a long time ago. This is the first one in a long time we've played together. We played
been
Rex.
Long. Been a while. Yeah. Rex, Final Days of an Empire.
And playing with a bunch of guys who kind of know what they're doing with board games. That game was a shit ton of fun.
Super fun.
Yeah.
I am eagerly anticipating playing it once again.
Caveat on that. I think you do need six players. I don't think you could play that with maybe five.
I want to see it with low. Because there's rules. Things that change if you play with a smaller amount of people.
I think just from looking at it, I'm like, this game would not be as fun without all of the races being played. And it's I think that you have to have at least minimum five. It's very, very techie. I would not probably recommend playing that with.
It's not for casuals.
Yeah, not for people who's like, I've played Settlers of Catan. I understand how this works.
Not for them.
No. This is very resource alliance heavy. It's not a game that my wife would play because my wife hates making alliances in board games.
I normally hate alliances when there's no structure.
Yeah. I love it. I love alliances.
I hate unstructured shit. Like that is my biggest pet peeve with this game. Normally, you know, alliances, that's the thing where I'm like, fuck, dude, fuck that game. I hate that shit. Because that's easily like the king make, king break, the things that are the worst about games.
This game actually builds king making into the game, so that's a good thing.
It's also when you flip a card, it says there's a card you actually have to flip that says ceasefire. Only during ceasefire can you make alliances break alliances, or trade.
So,
period. Like, that's it. So, with that being part of the game, you can't just have, like, no, I'm going to backstab because it's funny. Nah! Like, the worst parts of multiplayer games are eliminated by making it a rule.
I think that one of the best things that you could do with it is seriously, like, if, like, let's say by the end of, like, the last turn, like, you get that ceasefire card, like, second to last turn, and you're, like, poised to win, just, like, break off the alliance, win the game by yourself, and just, like, flick off your opponents.
Well, the rule we didn't use, which I'll be using again... which I'll be using next time I play, is the betrayal rules. There's a stack of cards that we're using to keep track of the rounds.
Yeah.
All of those have a betrayal thing, and I guess you shuffle those up and deal them to the player secretly. And if that betrayal win condition ever comes up, you can betray your teammates and win the game.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Cool.
I would definitely...
Again, mechanical betrayal. Like I said, giving it free reign of just like open thing. That's why I hate multiplayer Magic, because it's just like... Yeah. You ate that burrito. Everyone attack him.
And it was one of the few games...
Casual garbage.
One of the few games by Fantasy Flight where I kind of feel like all of the components were relatively necessary to have a fun game.
There was no extra components.
Fantasy Flight is really nasty when it comes to, like, giving you shit tons of components and chits and pips and blips and the bleeps.
Boobly bops.
And boobly bops.
Scoobly bops.
Scoobly bops.
Suddenly you're the scat man.
I was going to say Diamond Dave from Van Halen. David Lee Roth.
Sure.
That's his name. Yeah. You did solo scoop. Dibbly bop, dibbly boo. You know that skilly. All right. So do we have any other gaming news to talk about?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, there's
War Machine Mark III, but that's a whole other can of worms.
I'm sure, like, what you need to do is you need to sit down and get your talking points about, like, what's wrong with Mark III, like, on a piece of paper so that you can say, like, number the first.
I just have a fucking scroll, like a constitution-length scroll for each problem.
I'm written on toilet paper, so it just unrolls.
Nice.
I would be the type of person who goes, yeah, I just don't like the models. That would be me.
The worst.
I think the models are kind of chunky and they're a little flat. They're a little two-dimensional because that's the way I do everything.
The worst.
All right. So go to planetarbitrary.com, which has apparently been hacked, and I have to try and fix that this weekend. It just says it's been hacked. I guess there's just like some small back-end thing. There's nothing really wrong with the site, and I don't think it's going to infect any of your computers. I don't think. So go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can find me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
Play on Steve.
At Play on Steve. Like the Facebook page. That's probably the best place where you can see our live videos of, I believe we're / comic book, not comic book, Game Classy Podcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is like, comment, and subscribe on iTunes. I should check and see if we got any new comments, but it's saying how terrible we are. like that one guy who keeps on posting. That one guy, he has two reviews on us.
Yes.
And both of them are one star. He got so mad at the podcast, he came back like 4 months later and left another negative review. That's the best way to help out the podcast. Give us 5 stars and you can put that word shit. And that's all that I really care about is the 5 stars. And, unless they got some sort of like weird Rotten Tomatoes aggregator going on with the site, I'd feel happy with that. Where was that? Oh, yeah. You can listen to our sister podcast, the Play On Podcast, where you can have listen to Steve and Pat B of Pat B's Retro Video Game Review Podcast complain about Aisha Tyler and Ubisoft. What was he mad about Ubisoft? I haven't listened to the podcast.
Aisha Tyler was part of the Ubisoft thing. Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
So it's like it's tainted.
It's tainted. Turns out Pat B, really racist. No. we just start that rumor and watch him like back. Like, no, I don't. It's not that. I'm like, yeah, Pat, whatever. We'll watch him just fumble. Watch him bumble like the Brits with the Brexit.
Or he could just trump it and be like, little racist. It's luxurious.
It's luxurious. Well, build a wall around Ubisoft.
I'm luxuriously racist.
Did you hear why he's wearing a baseball cap now?
Drumpf?
Yeah.
Isn't he always wearing a baseball cap?
No. Apparently someone on his campaign told him that you cannot win this election with your hair.
I thought he was always wearing the Make America Great Again hat.
No, he just started like really wearing it the last few months.
Oh, okay.
Because they said like you cannot win this election with your hair. It's too much of a talking point. So now he wears a baseball cap everywhere so that it hides his hair.
That's really funny.
Yes. And you could also listen to Comic Book Logic, where Kevin and I review comic book movies. We talk about their in-depth about where they come from in the comic books and where they're going in the movies. We're in the summer of Spidey right now. We just did Spider-Man. And next week, we're doing Spider-Man 2 with Dr. Octopus.
Are you going all the way into the other Spider-Man as well?
I think... Well, we want to do that. We might not do it right away, but we're definitely going to do the 3 Raimi Spider-Man all in a row. We might not do the...
I need poems about Spider-Man.
God, he's so good in that movie. He's so ridiculously good. I haven't seen Spider-Man 3 since like when it came out, so I'm kind of... I remember it being like really shitty, so...
Get excited for that dance number.
That's what everyone always talks about. I don't remember it being that bad, but who knows?
You know what? It's very out of place. It's very strange. I think that's what people are just like, what the fuck is happening?
I like strange.
I liked the dance number.
Of course you did.
I liked the dance number.
Because everyone was like, I hate it. And Steve's like,
no,
hold
everyone also hated Venom, and I hate Venom. He's terrible in that movie.
Sandman's in that movie, too.
Sad Man.
Thomas Hayden Church.
Yeah, just remember I said Sad Man, and watch that. Just keep that in mind while you're watching it.
If I make that joke on the podcast, I'll give you the credit.
Not for the joke. Just literally remember that I said it, so you can be like, oh, okay.
Well, no one knows what it's like to be the Sad Man.
Yeah, really.
To be the Bad Man. Okay, and so, Steve, until next podcast.
Da 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 da